Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Good morning. It's great to be here this morning, even though we only have very few here. For this online service. The Bible reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 29. And Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. So Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And I think when we look around us this morning, locked down at home and not being able to move around as much as we would like to, I think sometimes it sort of challenges us to stop, pause, and reflect on some of the things that's been going on in our lives. And let me share with you something that happened to us right this week. Our very close encounter, if you want, with COVID. And on Friday of last week, I went to High Point to pick up my glasses. It was just a normal thing that we would normally do. And after picking up my glasses, we just went into to do some food shopping and we just forget about it, don't we? But then Wednesday came along and they started sort of publishing exposure sites. And guess what? High Point became an exposure site, and we were there around about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and the exposure site was declared that anyone who was at High Point between 10 and I think 12:30 or something like that, we had to go and get a test and be isolated until we get a result. So off we went, got the test, and we stayed at home, but the good thing was it came back as negative. But as you can imagine, at the moment, there are thousands and thousands of people who have gone through the test, not knowing exactly what's happening, not knowing exactly whether they are going to be positive or negative, whether they've been exposed or not. It's anxious time for everyone, and I think at the moment there's so much, what Nicole was saying, there's so much happening around us that we are not really, really at ease with the way we are living, the way that the virus is just circulating around us. And the thing is, we're hearing practically every hour, number of cases increasing, not just here in Melbourne, but in New South Wales, around the world. And we are getting very anxious about the Delta variants. A few months ago, we haven't even heard about the Delta variant, but now it's common. It's causing havoc in countries on our doorstep, like Indonesia, Fiji, Papua New Guinea. And I guess in a sense, we are just literally sitting at the end of our seats, not knowing what's laying ahead of us. And on top of that, we hear other things happening as well around the world. Floods in Europe. We hear about all the violence happening currently in South Africa. And all these has got to do with hundreds and hundreds of people losing their lives. And I think it's while we are living in this uncertain world, sometimes it's good for us just to take a pause and just to reflect, to look back on what we have learned so far and how this can inform us about the future. And that's what I'm proposing that we do this morning. Because over the past few weeks, we've been reflecting on the Gospel of Mark. And we started it last year. We've had a few breaks in between. And now we've reached round about chapter 11. So what I'm proposing that we do this morning is for us to reflect on the messages that Mark has got for us from chapter 1 to chapter 10. And I feel that we've learned so many things from the Gospel of Mark. So many things that can help us to live through the type of environment that we are at the moment. And thinking about all the comments that's been floating around on the church WhatsApp group, I think we've been taught a few lessons on the Gospel of Mark. We've been challenged by the messages. We've been encouraged by the messages. We felt supported right through all the different messages that we've had on that gospel. And with what is happening around us, I think we have to ask ourselves the question from the Gospel of Mark, what have we really seen so far? And what has it done to transform our lives? And that's why I think it's good for us to just pause from all the news that we've been receiving right through, for us to catch our breath and reflect on the message of Mark. So as we know, Mark itself is one of the shortest gospel. It's very concise in detail, and it's got that feeling when you read through it, especially if you read through it in one sitting. When you read through it, you have that feeling that it's taking you on a journey, a fairly quick journey with Jesus and his disciples. Yes, there are crowds following around, but if you go through Mark, you will see that a lot of his teaching has to do with teaching his disciples. But Mark has been very clear right from the beginning that this is the message of his gospel. Right from the first sentence within his gospel. And so Mark chapter 1 verse 1, he says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, and he doesn't stop there, he says, the Son of God. The good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, I think when we think about good news, especially when we think about all the things happening around us, when we get a piece of good news, for example, when I got that negative result for the test that we did on Wednesday, what did I do? I rushed out and told my wife about it, told Bridget about it, because she got hers in the morning earlier than me, and she told me about it. So when we receive things like this, good news like this, our aim or what we want to do is we want to rush around and tell everyone about that sort of good news. And I'm sure that, for example, in these days when we hear about something that hits us with joy, we use social media a lot to pass it around, WhatsApp message, and we've seen it in the church WhatsApp group as well. And on top of that, what Mark has said is not just about the good news, it's the good news about Jesus the Messiah. And in the midst of all these, I know that with the lockdown, all the plans that we've had on traveling, on going somewhere during the weekend, it's all down the drain, isn't it? We feel anxious about what's circulating around us because we don't see the virus. We are frustrated, we are impatient. But here, when we read about Mark, and it's a gospel that we've been going through over the past few weeks, when we read about that, it says it's the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Well, that's different, isn't it? That's different because it's good news about the Son of God. But the problem is we are so absorbed with the bad news. We are so absorbed with what's happening around us that we tend to forget that this is the good news that we have in our hands. And that good news gets diluted, gets forgotten. That this is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, the Messiah in Judaism, it's about a future king from the line of David who will be anointed with oil to be king of God's kingdom and rule the Jewish people during the Messianic age. But in Judaism, the Messiah is not considered to be God. He's considered to be a great political leader that has descended from King David. Hence, he's referred as Messiah Ben David, that is Messiah, son of David. So when Mark writes in his gospel about the good news about Jesus the Messiah, he adds the Son of God because he wants us to realize that Jesus is not only a human being who is coming to free us from the Romans in those days, for example, but that he is the Son of God. The title Son of God shows to us the divinity of Jesus, isn't it? When you think about it, when you think about the good news here about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, I'm getting goose pimples all over about here I have in my hands a good news about Jesus, the Son of God. Wow, that's encouraging to each of us, isn't it? In the midst of this lockdown, the midst of all those bad news, we have a good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And I think the question remains, what do we do with it? This is the good news that we've heard week after week about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Has it transformed us? Or does it just last a few minutes after we've heard it? we think, oh, that's a challenging message. That's something that's stirring something inside of me. But once we leave the church, or once we switch off from the online service, we just forget about it as if we've heard nothing. So that's why it's good for us just to go back a bit, just to think about what is it that we've learned. So I'm going to jump a bit around in some of the verses. And if you have a Bible with you, so much the better, we can follow up together. So first of all, we have in chapter 1, we have John the Baptist, who is preaching around and asking people to repent. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 7, he says, and this was his message, the message of John the Baptist. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then later on in verse 14, he says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. And then he said, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That is the good news of Jesus the Messiah. And then we go to chapter 2. And after Jesus is healed a paralyzed man, he was also discussed about fasting and Sabbath. He said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So he is demonstrating a bit about who he is. And then just after that, he healed on the Sabbath. He healed a person. And he chose the 12. But then he came back to his home. And he began to speak to them. But his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent someone to call him in. And the crowd surrounding him told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. So he's asking us to just listen to him and obey him. And I think we come up to a particular situation that I think is relevant to us today. In chapter 4, where after he's taught a few things using parables, he came into a boat with his disciples, and there was a storm. And taking on from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 onwards, we can read, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And I think there's something in there, and I will come back to that later, that I think we can catch on. Yes, we are terrified by what's happening around us, like a storm. And sometimes it feels inside of us as if Jesus is just sleeping in the boat, not really caring about whether we are drowning or not. But I think if we have faith in him, that he can calm the storm down, just like what he did with his disciples there. And then Mark chapter 2 is about two healings. Mark chapter 6 begins with Jesus being rejected in Nazareth, where he grew up. And then he sent his 12 disciples out to what today we can classify as a short mission trip. Then there was John the Baptist, the death of John the Baptist, and that was followed by the feeding of the 5,000. And then he walked on water to join his disciples right in the middle of the lake. And then later on, Mark chapter 7, we see Jesus teaching about inner purity, healing the daughter of a Syrophoenician woman and also a man who was deaf. Then we get to chapter 8, that I believe is the central part of Mark. If you want to, the heart of the Gospel of Mark. Because in chapter 8 begins with another feeding of a crowd of 4,000 men, and that doesn't include women and children as well. And then we have the argument with, he had an argument with the Pharisees demanding a miraculous sign. And when we think about it, Jesus has just fed 4,000 in front of everyone, and yet the Pharisees came to question him, to test him, and asking him to make another sign. He's just fed a few thousands of people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish, we are told in Mark. And I think the reason why this is a central part or turning point of the gospel is the fact that from now on, if you continue to read in Mark, you will see that most of his teaching is directed towards his disciples. And so we see that in chapter 8, after Jesus has healed a blind person at Bethsaida, we see where Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. And I'm reading again from Mark chapter 8, verses 27. It says, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am? Who do you people say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And just after that, if you have a Bible with you, you can see just after that, Jesus starts talking about his death. And not only his death, but the way in which he's going to die, the way to the cross. And if you go through chapter 8 through to chapter 10, you will see that there's a pattern there. There's a constant sort of Jesus teaching his disciples. And they sort of, in a sense, start sort of not really sure about what he was saying. They failed to understand what he was saying. And Jesus sort of renewed again his prediction about his death. He tells them again about his death, his resurrection. But they fail again. They ask him for other things. And they start talking about who is the greatest amongst us. Who is the greatest amongst us? And when we think about it, when we look at that particular passage, we can see in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, that regular pattern. I think it's a three-cycle thing where Jesus talks about his death and the disciples sort of don't really understand what he's saying. They just do things that we will consider a bit dumb in our days. And then Jesus sort of tells them again about his death, and they did the same thing, and then they start arguing among themselves about who is the greatest. If we look at this, we will say that, they have Jesus with them. They've been taught a few things. They've seen a lot of what Jesus has been doing with them, maybe over the past 3 years or so. He spent so much time with them, teaching them, teaching the crowd, performing miracles. And they do seem just to be ignoring much of the teaching of Jesus. Much about what he's telling them, that he's going to die, and he's going to die a horrible death on the cross. And I guess we can ask ourselves, with Jesus around, still around with them, don't we see that they are a bit dumb, if you want? Just think about this. Why do they think in this particular way? But when we just stop for a little while and reflect on what has been happening with the disciples, I think we can come up with a conclusion that we are doing the same thing, aren't we? And not only that, but in those days, the disciples didn't have the whole gospel as we have. Didn't have all the writings of Paul. Didn't have all the teachings in here accessible, so easily accessible to all of us. They were there, and as Jesus was teaching them, there was nothing like this happening before them. And we have the entire story. We have the advantage of knowing exactly what happened. And even though we've only done about 10 chapters of Mark, and there would be six more chapters after that, we still have a lot of things that the disciples wouldn't have. We have all that knowledge that the disciples didn't have. And yet, when we are faced with a storm like what we are going through now, we act like the disciples on the boat. We just say, don't you care that we drown? You just keep on sleeping there as if nothing is happening around. Yes, we are still behaving in a way that doesn't really reflect our belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. We allow sometimes our fears, our anxiety, all the things or the bad news around us to cripple us, much like the disciples in the boat with Jesus during the storm. And like what Nicole said a bit earlier on, do we believe that no matter what happens, that Jesus is still in control? He's still the Messiah, the Son of God. Bear in mind, verse 1 is in the present. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus, the Messiah. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. He still is. The good thing is we have the good news. But that doesn't mean that everything will just automatically disappear. All the bad news, all the things happening around us will just disappear. And life will just be rosy, will just be okay for all of us. Doesn't mean that this will happen. But what he has promised is that when we go through what we are going through now, right now, he's walking the journey with us. Just bear in mind that Jesus was in the same boat as his disciples throughout the storm. He did not abandon them. He was just in the boat with them, like he's in the same boat as us now. And I think what we need to be doing is just to commit ourselves to him. Commit this situation to him and trust that he knows what is ahead of us. And that no matter what happens, he will walk through it all with us. In a sense, he's asking us to sleep with him at the back of the boat through the storm. And this is the challenge we have. Because he's just looking at us in the same way as what he did with his disciples when he was going around the villages. He's looking at us, straight at us, and he's saying, what about you? What about you? Yes, others are saying he may be John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. And we know that in today's world, this is what other people are saying about Jesus. He's just a prophet. He was just a man. But he, as believers, he's looking straight at us. And he's saying, what about you? Who do you say I am? What is our answer going to be? Are we going to say like Peter, you are the Messiah, or something else? And I think that's the challenge we have, that in the middle of that storm that we are going through, he's asking us, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And so what I would like to encourage all of us to do is for us not to just know about Jesus. That's head knowledge. We know a lot about Jesus. The whole world knows a lot about Jesus. If you Google Jesus, you will see millions of responses or answers about who Jesus is. What Jesus is asking us is to know him personally. And a few years back, I heard a sermon by a pastor who said that the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus is just one foot. We know about Jesus here, we know Jesus here, it's about one foot, from our head to our heart. And that's what he's asking us. To not just know about him, but to know him. And how do we know him? It's through spending time with him. You get to know a person through spending time with them. And for example, in the work that I do at the Baptist Union, I spend a lot of time with pastors, with leaders of churches, because then I get to know them. I get to know how they do things. I get to know their custom, their traditions, the way that they do things. It's the same thing with Jesus as well. We need to spend time with him. We need to study his words, to read his words, to allow his words to sink into our hearts. We need to reflect on who he is, what he's done for us all. We need to, in times like this, to spend time with him in prayer, just to, like the psalmist, to cry out to him, Lord, where are you? What is happening to us? And I think that's what we need to be doing. Because yes, we hear a lot about the good news, but a lot of times we just allow it to escape us, to just fly away. And I think it's relevant for us today to look at this passage on Mark chapter 8 and say, and look at his challenge to his disciples, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Whether we are able to answer, like what Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed give you thanks that you haven't just left us in the middle of the world with nothing for us to hold on to. And we do thank you, Lord, that through your message, through the way in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came down on this earth and taught his disciples and therefore passed on the message to us, that we can grab hold of that message about him being the Messiah, about him being the boat with us in the middle of the storm. We thank you that we can claim this promise that no matter what happens in our lives, that he is still in control. That, Lord, you can take us along, you can calm the storm and allow us, just like what happened to the disciples, to be amazed by your message, to see your power in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you that through it all, that we can have that space for us to reflect on who you are, to allow your knowledge about Jesus, the Son of God, to allow that knowledge to sink into our hearts and allow us to experience anew his presence in our lives, the way in which he can transform us and change us to be the one that you want us to be, that you want us to become. So Lord, especially for all of us now in lockdown, in Melbourne, in all those listening to us, watching us, and all those who are going through so much anxiety, so much fear about the virus floating around, we just pray that, Lord, your Spirit will just calm us down like you are calming the storm. Give us your peace, a peace that's beyond our understanding. May your peace dwell in us, that, Lord, we will know and answer like Peter, that, yes, Lord Jesus, you are the Messiah. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.